This episode and every episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Ironmonger Brewing. Visit Ironmonger at their tap room in Marietta, Georgia, or online at ironmongerbrewing.com.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Brian Hewitt.
And welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We are broadcasting from the Beer Guys Radio Studios in Marietta, Georgia. And this week, we're talking with Wandering Soul Beer Company. I am Tim Dennis, and with me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Brian Hewitt.
Hey, Tim. Joining us today, we have Matthew Smith, the owner of Wandering Soul Beer Company. We're going to talk about Gypsy Brewing, collaboration, and probably hops. Matthew, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Good times. Yeah, we're going to crack into some of your beers, have some good conversation here. And, you know, we like to start out with just a little chatter.
Yes.
And we try and pick a fun topic to chat on. And Brian, I believe you found something that is near and dear to your heart.
Yes, I am. I'm quite the fan. I heard that you play in a ska band. Is this true, Matt?
Yeah, that is true. And
still, even with the brewery, you're playing in the ska band now.
Well, I've taken a little break from it, but I mean, you can see a guitar. Well, there we go. There's a guitar.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
People on radio will have to trust us.
Radio, yes. And we'll describe. There are guitars. We can verify there are multiple guitars. Yes.
Yeah. So, no, I used to play in a ska band in New Jersey called the Blithering Idiots. And it's a ska punk band. And, you know, it got pretty serious to the point where a lot of the other guys moved up here to Massachusetts to start another band. And they convinced me to move up here from New Jersey. And that's actually the reason I even moved here from New Jersey, was to play in a band called STEM, which became a band called Stereo Grove. But yeah, I played in a few different ska bands. I played guitar.
So what were your musical influences?
A lot of traditional ska music, you know, like the Skatalites from Jamaica. Nice. You know, and then a lot of the ska punk, like Real Big Fish, Less Than Jake.
Yep, yep.
The Toasters.
I'm a big fan of Goldfinger, you know?
Goldfinger, yeah, yeah, all that stuff. A lot of the stuff coming out of the New York ska scene, because I was in New Jersey. Then West Coast stuff like Hepcat and the Slackers from New York and stuff like that.
Man, there is so much more ska out there than any idea. So I was into like the late 70s, 80s punk. And I think MDC was kind of a little ska punk, sort of. In there, do you know MDC, Matt?
Does it stand for something?
It does, but I can't say it on the radio, so we're just going to stick with that for now. So, but they were pretty popular, but I think light ska influence, probably more punk.
You know what's interesting is there was I don't know if it's top 40, but it got some airplay locally at least, and I think in some of the satellite was The Interrupters.
Okay.
Ska punk band that's new. Like I heard this on the radio. I'm like
in today times, yeah, like in the 2021s?
Did a cover of a Billie Eilish song.
Okay. That
new.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that new. But they sound like they could have walked right out of 1997, you know, somewhere in California. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Well, see, most of my ska knowledge is like Squirrel Nut Zippers, Suit Riot stuff and that.
Oh, Cherry Pop and Daisy. That's more retro swing type of stuff. But
it was in there.
They had some ska influences. I think that, you know, if you see a bunch of horns in a band like that, you know, it's, it's a ska band. Yeah. You know, but yeah, they had some influences for sure. But yeah, I mean, I love that music. It's more like reggae. I gravitated more towards like dub reggae.
Okay.
All right.
We had Christopher Glenn with Bottle Share on the show with us last week. And before the show, we were playing some music and I was like, what do you like to listen to? And he said, white boy reggae. And I'm like, I'm like, what? He's like, let me just show you. So I'm learning so much, so much education to have out
here.
There.
You thought you knew everything there was to know about music.
Yeah. Well, Matt, when Brian starts his ska podcast, we'll have to have you back on there.
The ska cast.
Okay. Yeah. Right. The ska cast. Exactly. Right. That probably exists already.
Probably though. Does. Yeah. Well, Tim, I think it's time for us to get into the beers of the week.
Now it's time for our beers of the week, brought to you by The Nest. Craft beer and barbecue in downtown Kennesaw, Georgia. TheNestKennesaw.com.
Well, Brian, as always, great list of beers to get into here. We do want to thank our friends at The Nest for sponsoring the segment. Wings, barbecue, craft beer, Brian.
Yes.
Nesttoberfest coming up there. Pre-sale tickets on right now. More info on that coming soon. So this week, we've got a great selection from Wandering Soul, Brian. We are currently sipping their Melody Maker Northeast IPA. We have coming up their Young Mouse, which is a Belgian ale with mango. We have Things We Don't Say, and Matt, we'll get into that one a little more. I know there's a story behind that beer as well, the Things We Don't Say.
Yeah.
And From the Wreckage, Imperial Stout. You got to wrap it up with a stout, because stouts are for summer, Brian.
That's right, and it's prime stout drinking
season right now. It is prime stout season right now. That is the truth. So, yeah, some really good stuff to get into. Definitely going to enjoy that. So, Brian, won't you let us know what's happening in the news?
What's in the news? The beer guys have the scoop.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Time for headlines.
I think we all knew this day would come. I'm not sure if it really has or not, but CNN is reporting that the hard seltzer craze has come to an end, stating that the once unstoppable growth of hard seltzer has gone flat, unquote. And they're basing a good part of that on the hit that Boston Beer Company's Truly Hard Seltzer had in the second quarter of this year. Boston Beer Company missed their projections, and shipments were down by about 10 to 25% from their original projections. Boston Beer Company blames a softer market following last year's spending patterns, where people were basically buying everything they could find and filling up all the cupboards
stay
in their
home,
house.
Stay home, drink up.
Exactly. They were also increasing consumer confusion, that's their term, consumer confusion based upon the increasing number of options. Basically, these people don't know that they should be buying Truly, apparently.
Apparently.
So they're confused.
Consumer confusion. And imagine how confusing craft beer is,
that's
Brian.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And this follows the seltzer brand's largest ever advertising campaign. So all that advertising really didn't save them, but it did chip away at their White Claw's slight lead in the market. So they're within about 10% of White Claw at the number two spot. Similar headlines have been all over the place beyond CNN, Bloomberg, Yahoo. I've seen it reposted everywhere. Everybody's kind of enjoying this new salacious news. But I'm not really sure I believe that the craze is over yet. I think that somebody missed their projections. It may not be done. Now, trust me, I'm okay if it is done. I want my shelf space back for craft beer, but I don't know if I believe we're there yet.
That's probably the easiest way for Boston Beer Company to, you know, to wipe a little egg off the face there in not hitting projections. You know, the confused consumers aren't drinking as much seltzer.
Exactly.
Brian, so that's it.
There's so many options, they don't know which ones to buy. So we're missing our projections because they're buying that local option. They just don't realize.
Matt, have you gotten into the seltzer game there at Wandering Soul? Have you done a seltzer?
I was afraid you'd ask.
Yeah, see?
No, it's I've never personally really understood the seltzer thing.
Yeah.
But what I will say, I have never put out a seltzer. I've experimented with making other beverages other than beer. What I'd love to see happen with the seltzer is that it splits into some different categories that are brand new. You know, because I think that there's actually some opportunities out there for other beverages that are have alcohol or carbonated, might even have hops and yeast and maybe some fruit, things like that. I've experimented in my lab with, actually Wandering Soul wasn't even going to be a beer company. It was going to be something else. I just didn't know what to call it. So I still tinker around with that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to see seltzer kind of like morph into some new stuff for people. There's a lot of things you can do to create beverages with or without alcohol. There's all sorts of things you can do.
Yeah,
seltzer is
it's
just fizzy flavored water with alcohol.
You know what? I think maybe that's the way we'll start the next segment. We're going to talk about some of those alternative experiments that you had there.
So seriously. That. And I'm on board with the ready-to-drink cocktails. Some of them I really like. There's a gin and tonic by, is it Cutwater?
Cutwater.
I really like that. I like that a great deal. It's carbonated, and I don't know that it's not necessarily highfalutin, but it's really good.
I don't remember who owns Cutwater now. I know it's changed it because it used to be part of Ballast Point.
Yeah.
But so back in the day, like pre-billion-dollar buyout.
I don't think it was included in that buyout.
I don't think it was either.
But I don't know if Ballast Point themselves still own it or what.
I think
the
someone else has got it now.
Yeah.
Do you happen to know, Matt? Do you know who's got Cutwater now?
Ooh, I think you might be right on, you know, it's either Ballast Point or there's a brewery down near you guys, I thought.
Yeah, I forget who's got them now.
Probably somebody bought
it. I guess the point being, yes, their RTD cocktails are pretty tasty.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Definitely enjoy them. Well, you are listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We do need to take a break. but we'll be back very soon with more from Wandering Soul Beer Company.
Have you visited Ironmonger Brewing recently? Take a trip and see the newly renovated and spacious tap room, or enjoy the outdoors in their new beer garden with plenty of seating and shade to ease that summer sun. Ironmonger's tap room has a variety of craft beer and hard seltzer on tap, with wine and spirits coming soon. Ready for a bit of adventure? Try out axe throwing with Ironmonger's 16 target range. It's a perfect spot for some quick fun or to host your next party or corporate event. So grab your friends and have some fun today at Ironmonger Brewing.
Have you ever thought about owning your own brewery but don't know what it takes to get one built? We're Storytime Construction, and we build breweries. We're Georgia's most experienced and hands-on contractors when it comes to building new breweries and tap rooms or expanding existing breweries. We offer full buildouts, remodeling, and additions, as well as consulting and construction management. Give us a call at 770-733-4343. Storytime Construction. We build breweries.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Remember, all episodes are available on demand, so if you miss the broadcast, get the podcast. Beer Guys Radio is available on all popular and unpopular podcasting apps. Now let's get back to Wandering Soul Beer Company.
So, Matt, before we went to break there, we were talking about things that aren't beer or aren't seltzers, and you said you've done some playing around. So what has happened in the laboratory there?
Well, I've done a few different things. You know, I've had some ideas that didn't pan out, some that did. So, for example, when I had an idea to do something that was gluten-free, it was basically in the like a fruit wine category, where I was basically making, for example, pineapple juice, adding some sugar and treating it as if it was a wine, but I was actually heating it up and adding some hops for a little bitterness, and dry hopped it and fermented it with a beer yeast just to see what would happen. And it tasted kind of like beer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I did that with pineapples and peaches, and then I made wine for a little bit, and I've made mead, and I've done 1% alcohol beer, a 2% beer, a 3% beer. Just kind of messing around with all these crazy ideas. A lot of them didn't work, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
But some of them did.
Are you familiar with the website Reddit?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So there is a subreddit that is basically guys who ferment whatever liquid will ferment.
Is that prison hooch?
That might be it.
I think
Brian,
it is
that
our might, prison hooch.
Like, their goal is to be as ridiculous as they can with it, like Hawaiian punch, just crazy stuff. I don't even remember what the craziest ones, but basically if it's the liquid and there's enough sugar in to ferment. I think one dude even did chicken broth and just added sugar to it to get it. Have you ever fermented chicken broth?
That I haven't done.
Okay. No.
I know a brewery has used hot dog water to make beer, so that's a thing. Have you tried hot dog water? I understand that's a...
I heard about that too, actually, but I've never tried that.
I
can't take that idea.
That's too much gold right there. Yeah. That's not too far removed from just dumping all this stuff into the boil kettle. You know?
I did a prison hooch one time before I got into homebrewing, where I just took various fruits. I tried to do it as prisony as possible.
Yeah.
So I had different fruits, and I think I had ketchup packets.
Oh, nice.
Because I think they said that's what they'll use for some sugars. And then yeast, I think they'll just use bread in that.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I got to say. So I put the fruit and the liquid and all that in a jar, the ketchup packets, you know, oranges, limes and that, and then the hot, I had hamburger buns. And I got to say, it really and truly was absolutely horrible.
Yes, I got to say, I will admit,
it was
terrible.
It was rank. Like I'd just go sober if I was in prison and that's all I could do.
Yeah, at a certain point, I was the lowest brow thing that we ever tried when we were homebrewing that actually turned out really well was that Skeeter pea thing. Well, it was just you ferment lemon juice and it's like a wine, you know.
Good old hard lemonade, lemon wine.
And it worked out pretty well. It was, not highfalutin. You pour it over some ice, but like right now when it's hot out, it's really nice.
Refreshing.
Yeah, very refreshing.
Good stuff. Well, Matt, Wandering Soul Beer Company, and talk about the beer here. So Your brewery started as kind of a, I hope I use this right, like a therapy for yourself was the brewing. And yep. that kind of sprouted into a brewery for you, correct?
Yeah, that's the form that it took. And that was all a factor of just timing with personal, you know, just life events. But, you know, I've been in the beer industry for about 10 years or so. That's crazy to say that. But, you know, I've worked for a number of different other breweries doing a little bit of everything from production to sales, accounting, really legal stuff, anything that needs to get done. So I bounced around a lot. And then, you know, I was actually working for a brewery in 2017 when, you know, we lost our first daughter and her name was Melody. You know, when I say we lost our daughter, she didn't pass away in a traditional sense. Basically, she was stillborn when my wife was about almost full term, more than 35 weeks pregnant. And we just found out that we lost her. So, you know, that was in 2017. And my life, to be honest, kind of fell apart. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had to leave my job. I wasn't sure if I'd ever come back and entered a really dark time. And so to ground myself, I decided, you know, I was working on a recipe anyway that ended up becoming Melody Maker. I had done a bunch of versions of it and decided that winter in 2017, I was going to try to start a brewing project and try to put out a beer to honor her, to have a legacy for her of some sort. And that's what ended up happening. That's how the whole thing started, basically. It was sort of a way for me to deal with that experience. And so each beer I've done, you know, is dedicated to a person or a concept. And I've told people, like, the entire time I've been running Wandering Soul, you know, grief is a thing that never really goes away. You know, you process it in different ways, right? And you carry people with you in different ways throughout your life, and you honor them the best you can. So that's what this has been for me. It's heavy stuff. And I know that, you know, I try to ride the line of, like, being transparent with people and trying to do something good and raising money for charities and having a legacy, but also trying not to be too heavy because it's beer, you know, and people, I think a lot of people pick up a can of beer, they read what's on the label, they expect to either, you know, laugh at something or, you know, just have a good time with it. And we can still do that. You know, like, there's a lot of people that could drink Melody Maker, any of my beers, and not know the story. And that's totally fine with me. The beer is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Behind each beer, there's a lot that went into it. So, yeah, that's kind of how it started.
Sorry for your loss, of course,
yeah,
Matt.
And, yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I think it's good beer was there for you to have something to kind of an outlet at the time. And, you know, I like a beer with a story, like Melody Maker. I like knowing, you know, when I'm drinking that beer, I think it's really cool to know the story behind it, where it came from. And we're currently drinking Young Mouse. You shared with us kind of on break about your nephew, and that's his nickname, so that honors him. And the cool yep. artwork on the label is his work. I believe you got a 4-year-old label artist there, huh?
Yeah.
Man, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah, he's a really special person, really inspiring to me. And, you know, he's had, you know, it's all right there on the can about what I'm trying to do here, what we're trying to do. To my amazement, though, when I started this thing, I wasn't sure. It was going to just be one batch of Melody Maker, and that was it. So, like, I literally got all my, like, my federal and state permits and everything. Took a long time, you know, just to brew one beer, just to brew one batch of beer.
That's dedication right
there. It is, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, but doing the paperwork, right, to get those permits, that's what kept me grounded. Like, I'm going to do this and just to see if I could do it, you know what I mean? Just to see if I could get these permits to do what I do. I didn't think I was going to get them. And so when they showed up here and when I got the call and I was like, here's your state permit, I was floored because I was like, oh, man. I guess this might actually happen now.
I guess I'm going to start a brewery then, I guess.
At what point did you realize, I'm like, I'm going to have to start making some other beers? I'm like, was it towards the end there? Or were
no,
you right along well, starting to add them?
It's funny because the first beer went over really well, Melody Maker, and, you know, it sold out. And these are 30-barrel batches, typically. When I started, they were 30-barrel batches. So it's like 250 cases. Self-distributed, you know, I do everything myself. I do, you know, I'm the only employee that I have. So I delivered the first batch in a Honda Accord. I stored it at my house in Beverly, you know, kegs too. But anyway, like the beer sold out. It went really well and started to see people responding to it. And so we brewed it again in April of 2017. Same thing happened. And then it was kind of like, all right, now what?
Where do we go from here?
You've been around longer than I thought. I thought that it was like 2 years. But you 17. We're going on 4 years at this point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, 2017 is when the ideas started. But this 2019 was the year when like Melody Maker was released into the market.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, hey, it's good that it was that popular and kept you driving. Seriously. Though. Better than the alternative for sure, right?
It surprised me. I mean, it was really humbling. The Things We Don't Say was the second beer we put out, but that recipe I threw together overnight.
Good stuff. You know what, Matt? When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Things We Don't Say there. So you are listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We do need to take a break, but we'll be back very soon with more from Wandering Soul Beer Company. Brian and Tim, the beer guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Brian. They've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, that's where it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks, so you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth.
Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the beer guys sent you.
Looking for a perfect afternoon beer, a feel-good weeknight beer with your dinner, or a great beer for whenever you don't want alcohol? Look no further than Athletic Brewing. They've won awards on multiple continents and are revolutionizing anything you've ever thought about non-alcoholic beer. Check out their website at athleticbrewing.com for a store closest to you, or order online with free shipping nationwide. Athleticbrewing.com. Use code BEERGUYS25 to get 25% off your first round on us.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. I want to give a quick shout-out to one of our great radio affiliates, WBQO 93.7 FM in Brunswick, Georgia. Catch Beer Guys Radio on WBQO every Saturday at 1 p.m. Now let's get back to Wandering Soul Beer Company.
Matt Smith, Wandering Soul Beer Company. Matt, we're on to another beer here. We are drinking your Things We Don't Say. I know we've talked about this beer a little bit before, but keeping with your theme of having a story behind the beer, can you tell us a little bit about Things We Don't Say?
Sure. The beer, it's a double IPA, it's 8%. It was a little bit out of my wheelhouse when I first designed that recipe. But so the hops have changed. It's on its fourth version. But it landed in a place where I think I'll keep it. It's a blend of hops that I really like. Some Mosaic in there. It's pretty heavy on the Mosaic. It's got some Centennial, El Dorado, and Vic Secret, which is a hop that I love. But basically, the idea behind the name, Things We Don't Say, came to me as the second beer that we put out. And when I say we, it's not just me, right? Like, I'm brewing my beer at other people's breweries. So I rely on their equipment. I rely on their staff. I rely on their canning line.
Do you work with several breweries, or do you just have one you've partnered with?
It's changed. It's several.
Okay. The good old Gypsy Brewer, huh?
It's become Gypsy Brewing.
Yeah. Okay.
And I started brewing stuff at Castle Island Brewing in Norwood, Mass. And then I bumped over to Bentwater Brewing in Lynn. Now I'm going back to Castle Island, but still brewing at Bentwater. And I'm also brewing at Old Planners Brewing here in Beverly. And I've done like 5 collaboration beers, and there's going to be other beers that are made at other people's breweries too, that are already in the works. But basically, Things We Don't Say was the whole concept. It's a concept beer. It's about, you know, the things that people go through in life that they're, you know, maybe afraid to talk about because they don't want to make somebody sad. And, you know, I know that with me, what happened for us, like with Melody, you know, traditionally that experience is not really talked about, you know, especially sure. from the perspective of being a man, because I think women are probably better at being open with things like this, especially emotional things. But, you know, being a man, like, supposed to be like the strong one and, you know, like hide your emotions and, you know, brush everything under the carpet and like don't make anybody sad, you know. So I realized very early on into my experience with losing Melody that that approach was not going to work for me, of keeping quiet about it. So I just kind of let my emotions just kind of like flow right through me, and it happened to flow right into the beer. You know, so it was an emotional thing. But yeah, Things We Don't Say was kind of an encouragement, and to that's why it says Things We Don't Say ... because that symbolizes all the things that we just don't talk about, that just kind of stay stuck in our heads as thoughts. They never really enter the world as, you know, things that we actually discuss, you know.
I think you should encourage people to fill out the ... on the can, like, you know, put on there things that they don't say.
Symbolically opening the can is saying the things that aren't being said. See, so like, there you go. Tim you is writing even, on the can right
I
now.
I mean, you could even send a message to someone on the can that maybe you wouldn't want to say. You're lucky my pen can't say what I want to say to you, Brian.
Is that safe for radio?
Things what I you were can't. No, that's why I was writing it on the can.
Okay, so, yeah. So write it on the can. Don't say it on the radio.
It's one of those phrases that can have so many different meanings. So I kind of like that. Like, people could look at it and be like, oh, things we don't say, like, you know, bad words and stuff like that, you know, things that'll make them laugh. So that also that name, that was going to be a band name, actually.
A ska band?
No.
Oh, okay, that's too bad.
That's a shame.
It's more of a metal, more of like a metal band.
Things we don't skank, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but that beer changed. It's changed a few times. Yeah, it's the only double IPA that I've done. And, you know, I've kept brewing it. It's my best-selling beer. I'd say Melody Maker is right behind it.
I actually have a change.org petition to ban El Dorado hops, so I hate to.
I was going to bring up El Dorado hops.
That. Yeah, I hate to say that to you, Matt.
They're polarizing. Okay. Have people complained to you about before Tim? Obviously,
no. I mean, so the thing with El Dorado is, if you're using too much of them, or using them in a part of the process where they're going to extract more of the oils, more of the raw flavor, they can get very, very pungent, very in your face, and some of the flavors that it throws off are not necessarily good. You know, I think that I've grown to really like that hop. It's only in the dry hop. I think if you use El Dorado on the hot side of brewing, you'll get a different character, but it's pretty raw. You got to be careful with it, you know. Also, when you blend it with other hops, it takes on a different persona. You know, if you did a single hop beer with El Dorado,
sounds like the worst thing ever.
See, I might,
you might not
that.
Like it.
I know you dig it.
I've always,
I know
it's
you
like
dig
a
it.
Candy
sure.
hop, the way it comes out. I know that one of the big brewers in the area got rid of it. Like, they had El Dorado for a particularly high profile double IPA and decided they did not care for El Dorado.
I think the brewer told us pretty point blank, I don't like El Dorado and I won't use it again.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Resold the hops. Yes.
The other thing you got to remember too, that like with El Dorado, every crop year is different. With any hop, any crop year is different.
Sure.
So for example, like Galaxy hops, when Galaxy hops got big, last year's crop year, 2020, tastes different than when Galaxy hops got real big. You know, there and not only the crop year, but the lot, like the specific lot, with the farm where it came from, and not only the farm where it came from, but the plant where it came from, the soil where it came from. So, like, you know, the
terroir.
Yeah, exactly, and you can break it down so far. So, like El Dorado, you could have it from two different suppliers, two different, you know, hop farms, and it could taste totally different.
It's getting to be like Battleship with hop contracts. I want Centennial from B23.
B23.
Give me that. Bingo. So.
And you know what? The way like rain collects and mist collects and all that sort of, it's possible that that could make a difference. It'll be a little gully one place where a little bit more water collects, and those hops will be just a little bit different than the rest of the ones in the other field. So,
right. You know, Matt, we've had conversations about hop selection and about how some brewers may go out there and try, let's say they're trying, you know, Citra or whatever, and they try it and they're like, wow, this is the best batch of Citra we've ever had. This is fantastic. But the one we want is this lot. And it's not because it's the best, but that's the hop that tastes like the citra they've been using. So it will keep the beer tasting familiar there, you know. And maybe they'll get some of those number one, the best one ever, for maybe some side batches. But if you're brewing a big production beer, you just want the consistency there.
Sure, yeah.
This is this tastes like last year's citra, like the citra before that.
It's like an age-old battle. It's a question that every brewer kind of has to ask himself or herself is, am I brewing beers for other people or for myself?
Sure.
And, you know, because you have to cater to the flavors and the palates of what's out there and what people kind of want. At the same time, you know, I've brewed beers that I don't like personally. You know, for me, Things We Don't Say is not at the top of my list of the beers that I personally like, but it's a lot of people's favorite beer. I've had people tell me it's the best beer they've ever had. So it's like, you know, so I've kind of tweaked it so that I like it more.
Yeah, sure.
Improved it for yourself. That makes sense.
Yep. Yeah. So, but it's kind of riding that balance of like the beers that you want to make that you would drink at any point versus what you think other people are going to be into.
You know, we've seen more than a handful of breweries that have came out and said, I'm going to be an only so-and-so brewery, and have just changed up. You know, a few here
last very long.
Maybe 7-10 years ago that came out and they were like, we're just going to brew Belgians. That's it. Belgian style beer. That's it. I'm down for it, you know, and but not the general population necessarily. So, you know, you get on there and you do your IPA and your fruited Berliners and such.
In one case I'm thinking about, you brew one pale ale and it outsells everything else you do, and you're like, well, maybe there's something we need to look into.
Okay, fine.
We'll do something else.
Yeah. But, you know, of course, you can have that happy mix of sticking to pleasing yourself, pleasing the masses there. So,
yeah, I think there's a balance there. For sure.
Just no Eldorado hops. As long as you don't use Eldorado hops.
Don't worry. You know what? I'm going to go change the recipe.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. Good stuff. That is a good point to break on. Goodbye, Eldorado. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show, and we'll be back right after this.
Patio season is here, and the Nest in Kennesaw, Georgia has plenty of outdoor space for you to enjoy a cold beer and some tasty barbecue. They've got 48 taps of great beer, wine, cider, and even hard seltzers, plus an impressive craft cocktail list, so there's something for everyone. If you're ready for some friendly competition, head over every Tuesday for trivia, or relax and take in the local talent with live music every Wednesday and Sunday. Enjoy the great weather while you can. Grab your friends and head to the Nest in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Headed to the Battery in Atlanta? Be sure to check out the Terrapin Atlanta Brewery and Tap Room. Whether the Braves are playing at home or on the road, the Terrapin Brewery and Tap Room is always pouring all of our locally brewed Georgia beers like Hops Executioner and High and Hazy, while also introducing small batch R&D beers created on our 5-barrel pilot system right inside the Braves Stadium. And if you're looking for great food, we've got you covered with Fox Brothers Texas Style Barbecue. Stop by and see us today at the Terrapin Brewery and Tap Room at the Battery Atlanta.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences, the bum's lost.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. Patrons get cool perks like Beer Guys swag and commercial-free episodes. Now let's get back to Wandering Soul Beer Company.
So, Matt, I wanted to ask you something. Going back to a little bit earlier when we were talking about the Gypsy Brewing, how much of a challenge is it for you to brew a beer on different systems each time? I mean, like going to, let's say, Melody Maker from one system to the other, how easy is it to transfer that recipe?
That's a great question, and it's not easy. You know, the homebrew versions of that beer versus what they are now, working at Castle Island versus Bentwater, you know, the water is different, the systems are different. The process is different. The people are different. Really, a lot of things are different. You know, the yeast strain changed. And versus the homebrew batches, like, the cool thing was that when we first brewed the beer at Castle Island, it ended up tasting like the version 20 homebrew batch that I landed on.
Okay, gotcha.
But it took a long time to get there, like to figure out like how are we going to do the whirlpool hops, the dry hop, the water, the yeast, when do we dry hop it, all that stuff, temperature. You know, it was pretty much tried to follow the homebrew batch recipe as much as we could. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun to brew beers at different places, you know.
Sure.
But yeah, consistency is something I have really tried to do a good job with, and pretty happy with how it's worked out. But sometimes I'm making, you know, changing these recipes as we go.
Yeah.
You know, Melody Maker hasn't really changed, but no, it's a great question. I mean, I'll use McDonald's as an example, or even Budweiser, any big company, they need to replicate that same product at all different other facilities around the world and get it to taste the same. You know, so doing it on a large scale, I can't imagine, you know what I mean? On the scale I'm at, you know, it's get to have a little more fun.
Right. Budweiser's pretty good at it, but
Oh yeah.
McDonald's, they just fly by the seat of their pants. There's no telling what you're going to get there.
That's probably right. True. Now, they do ship all the ingredients almost pre-made. I think all you have to do is actually just warm them up at the local place.
I guess so, man.
And even still, it's different every single
place. It is. You never know. Now, I should preface this by saying I've never worked at McDonald's, so don't know how they do it, but they do have a skill in making sure it's Russian roulette from restaurant to restaurant.
Yeah, they've really captured that excitement of never knowing what you're going to get from a place.
So exciting,
man. It's supposed to be predictable.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, Matt, you mentioned to us on break a little bit, talking about kind of the format and brewing, you know, different locations and all that. You said that there are some changes coming up from Wonder and Soul. What's in store for the future there?
When I started this thing, I kind of wanted it to always be, you know, I'm based in Beverly. There's a shed behind my house. I have the federal and state permits for literally a shed behind my house. And most recently, just like a month ago or less, we put out, I made this beer called A Light in the Dark. Here it is. I know some people won't be able to see that, but
it's a lovely bottle, very dark in color.
It did look nice. It looks
had a nice
beers
light silvery silhouette on it. It looks like it could be a stout or something like that.
It's a barrel-aged sour beer with peaches that took a year and a half to make. It was brewed before COVID.
It
sat in a barrel for a year at my house, and I added peaches. It was the first beer I put out under Wandering Soul as a collaboration with my friend Neil at Gilded Skull Brewing, who he and I are friends and we've kind of helped each other out. But I'm going to be doing a lot more collaborations, and that's already in the works. But, you know, I'm going to be going back to my roots to Castle Island Brewing in Norwood to make some beers there again, where I've been brewing at Bentwater. And, you know, the distribution side of this has changed. So I used to do everything myself and self-distribute. And then Bentwater was kind of helping. They have a distribution company, so their guys were helping me. And then we were doing big batches, and I was shipping out of state, which had gone reasonably well. Last year was a really good year for Wandering Soul, even with COVID. But, you know, brewing one beer a month, I've stuck to that since 2019. I'm going to still stick to that. But there's going to be some more real small batch, like experimental stuff that I can't brew a 30-barrel batch of, but I can do here or somewhere else. So that's really just how it's changing. It's still just going to be me. I used to be the guy showing up, delivering all the beer myself, and then I had some help from a company that does that, and it's going to go back to me being the guy showing up with the beer myself. So,
you know, I got to say, it's pretty cool, though, that you're in a location where you can – so you can brew from your shed behind your house, right?
And distribute from
and
there.
That's what I was going to say. So
I can, I did a bottle release this year. It's called A Light in the Dark. Uh-huh. And there was a line of people. They had to get the address via an online form.
That's crazy, man. That's hilarious.
So there was a line of people and cars down the street, and it's fully legal. They just can't drink the beer here, but they can purchase the beer from me and leave.
He's the legal dope man. Exactly. They're coming to the neighborhood to get their
thinking,
fix.
When we were homebrewing, if we could have sold it out of your garage, how much different things would be.
It would have been
right
pretty
now.
Cool.
We
sure.
might be running a brewery instead of doing a radio show about beer.
We just passed laws like in 2017 here, Matt, to allow some direct sales at our breweries. And, you know, we talked about in different laws to where you don't have to distribute. You know, you can just do sales from your brewery. You don't have to have a distributor, because before in Georgia, you sure couldn't have one in a residential. You know, you couldn't
absolutely
have anything like
not.
That.
No.
You had to have a distributor to sell your beer at all. But, you know, I had talked to the guild. I was like, could I, like, get a small space, get the licenses, and do like you said, one batch a month, yeah, or what have you, do small batches and just sell them out of my tap room there. You know, maybe I'm open 1 day a week, 2 days a week or whatever. And they're like, well, technically, yes, you could. But they're like, as soon as you try something like that, you know, the DOR is going to find a way to close up some loopholes there.
Yeah, everything changes when people are drinking on premise at your place. Everything changes.
Right.
And as soon as money exchanges hands, there's tax stuff that needs to be accounted for. But, you know, the license I have, it says right on it that I can sell directly.
That's pretty cool.
To, you know, I can sell to wholesalers, I can sell to retailers, or I can sell to consumers.
That's amazing.
Not in Georgia. Amazing. Not happening, man.
I'm so jealous how different things would have been. Not saying I don't like what we're doing here, but you know what? It would have been pretty cool. Once upon a time, I would have really enjoyed that.
We've got it better than we used to have here, but we're not there to the finish line by any means.
No, not even close. Not even close.
Yep.
So any plans, you know, down the road in the future, like setting down some sort of roots in I guess you have a kind of a permanent, you've got a shed there that you can brew out of, but like a more formalized tap room type of thing. Are you looking at that, or is that, you're not interested in that? You want to keep doing a beer a month?
The shed, I wouldn't call it permanent. I think that lightning could strike that thing tonight and it would blow up. Yeah, it could fall apart at any moment. It's a very small shed. So yeah, it's definitely something I'm looking into, having my own spot. You know, I've been spending actually years doing it sort of passively. And you know, I have a town in mind here that I've been talking to for a long time now. There's a part of the state of Mass where there's a lot of people that live and there's no breweries there.
Ooh.
So, you know, that's definitely on my radar. And, you know, it's just something where doing everything myself, it's going to require me to change the structure of this business. And, you know, it's going back to how I started this thing and what it means to me. Giving ownership up to investors and stuff like that, kind of hard for me. You know what I mean?
Changes the game a good bit, doesn't it?
I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So especially with the personal aspect of it, you know. So I go back and forth, man. Like, you know, one day I wake up and I want to just do it this way. Just gypsy brew and just go, anyone that'll have me, let's just keep doing it this way. The next day I wake up and I'm like, man, I am leaving so much money on the table. Because I could have all these people coming to me, because like the only way you can get my beers now is in stores or bars. And what if I cut that and just said, hey, you got to come here now.
Come to the source.
You know, so I'd have a kind of a built-in crowd. I mean, I've been blown away and humbled by the following I have around here. It's beyond what I ever thought. I'm not saying I'm like, you know, Sam Adams, but like it's beyond what I ever thought it would be. I can't believe I'm still doing this for a living. It's incredible.
Get you some bar stools and some tiki torches for the shed, and boom, you've got your tap room. Boom.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
But they couldn't drink it. They can just pass closed bottles back and forth.
Oh, they can't drink it there. Oh, okay.
They can pretend they're drinking it.
Give them a glass of water, and they can cheers with that while they're, there you go.
Well, the good thing is this ties into our conversation last week. You could sell an NFT for a virtual bar stool. And so they could drink your beer from home at your virtual bar.
There you go.
Everybody wins. Everybody wins.
That's right.
I'm going to do that.
See, there you go, man. We appreciate you joining us, man. I had a great conversation with you. If people want to see how to get your next NFT or your next beer, what is the best way for them to do that?
The website is wanderingsoulbeer.com. And everything on social media is just at wanderingsoulbeer. And everything comes directly to me.
Good stuff. Great. Awesome. We appreciate it, Matt.
Thanks, guys. That was awesome.
You bet. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show. Join us next week as we talk with Exhibit A Brewing. For more craft beer info, follow us online. We are Beer Guys Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a great week, and don't forget to drink local. Cheers. Cheers.